you state your name and spell it, please?
Okay. My name is James M. Moss, M-O-S-S.
Today's date? 3rd, 22nd. Mm-hmm. Can you describe when and where you were born and a bit about your parents?
Okay, all right. I was born in the Bahamas. Nassau, Bahamas, I was born. And my parents, I'm the son of Aretha and Clarence Moss. Okay? At an early age, my mother sent me to an island about 365 miles away from Nassau called Crooked Island, C-R-O-O-K-E-D Island. Now, as I said to some young person before, that has no bearing on the character of the people that lived on that island. It's only because of the physical shape of the island it was called Crooked Island. Okay? There I went to live with my grandmother, and I went to school there for a while. And I guess you would have another question you want to ask me.
Okay.
When did you first move to Miami?
I came to Miami in 1944. That's a long time ago, almost a century ago.
What part of town of Miami did you
I came to Miami, and my father was living in a place called Redland. You know what Redland is?
Redland
is a area down there in, what's that? Is that southwest Dade? It's down there by Homestead. Okay, down in that farming citrus area that's called Redland. And my father was living there, and I went there to live with my father. When I first came, I came in to the International Airport at 36th Street, and in seeing all the beautiful lights, I was so excited that I'm gonna come here to this city, Miami. And my father and I driving toward what he was, to his home, and I saw all the light diminishing, Then I saw one light, then I began to see no light. And then my father said, "Hey, you're gonna be living right there in that house, there one little light we out in the grove."
How did you feel about that?
You know, young people want to be where the things are happening. That is no dead place. And here, this is a grove. Who's gonna be there? My father, myself, and maybe one or two more people. I didn't feel so good about that. However, that kind of killed my spirit. But in kind of rallying myself, I decided that I would go to visit my uncle who was living in Miami. And I told my father about it, and he gave me permission to go. And what I had to do at that time is to go and get me a ticket and ride the bus to Miami. And that was my first encounter with segregation. You go to get a ticket, and you have to stand on the porch. You couldn't go inside the house, in the office place. You stand on the porch and tell the lady saw you. And she'll come out and ask you what you want. And you tell her what you want, and then she'd ask for the money. She'd take your money, go in and buy your ticket, and bring the ticket back up. That's my first encounter with segregation. Secondly, my second encounter was with the bus driver. You're getting on the bus now. You're in line. Everybody get on the bus. And he would take all the white tickets, pick out all the white tickets, and tell all the white people's on the bus. And when the white people get on the bus, then he'll take your ticket. When you get on the bus, if there were a seat up front, you couldn't sit in the front. Because the big sign up there say, colored in the rear. Okay? It's a big sign, you can't miss it. It says, colored seat from rear. So if you want to sit down, you got to go to the rear to sit. If there's white people sitting all through the buses, then you have to stand up. Even if it's one seat up there, you understand? You can't sit up. So those are my first encounter with segregation, which was not pleasing at all.
Did you try to stand up against segregation once for you?
If you have to stand up?
Like, did you ever once had to stand up?
Oh yeah, I understand.
Multiple times?
Yeah. But you know, you are mindful of what's happening. Although I came from Bahamas and probably haven't experienced that, but my father kind of schooled me about these things before I go, because he was concerned about my safety. You understand what I mean? And the way it was, things can happen to you. And it could be just like no one knows. You know what I mean? Because the people who were in charge were those of the people who were the evil ones. You hear Bush talking about the evil ones? The evil ones used to live down south here. Go ahead.
What else do you remember about segregation?
What else? Okay, I remember, there's a whole lot about segregation I could tell you about. I know at times, if you were downtown at night and the police sees you, he tried to harass you and all of that. Might put you in jail and all of that. On Miami Beach, for instance, if you didn't have an ID card, you see that, like what that card you got? If you didn't have one of those in Miami Beach, police found you out over there, you're going to jail. So all of that was segregation. The one that I dealt with most so severely was the one with Bell Telephone Company. I encountered a whole lot of segregation down there. And it really hurted me because of the fact that I supposed to have been a member of this company, okay? And like anybody else working with the company. And there were these people who have a whole lot of privileges and have a whole lot of opportunity, and there was me. I am sitting there and I can't get anything done. So what I did, I saw things on written in the bulletin board that you can apply for other positions and what's not. And so I decided that I would file application to do so. And being the janitor of the place, I cleaned up, because that's all you could do for Bell at them days. A janitor, you clean up, and that's it, take the trash out. You couldn't do anything else. There was no operator, there was no lineman, there was no engineer, there was nothing but Bell Telephone Company. But white people all the way down, a sheet of white. You go in the building, white, the whole third floor in this big building was operators. They had like hundreds of people, operators, young girls, operators. Because them days it wasn't modern as nowadays. They don't have that many people doing things nowadays. Them days, you know, you did depend on people to do it. And you have hundreds of girls up there. And all you can see up there is white girls. There were no black girls up there. The only thing black girls could do was to clean the floor, clean the bathroom, and the same thing with black people, okay?
Where did you go, like, where did you hang out in that time period where it wasn't segregated or it was just...
Okay, you mean like for my little,
yeah.
My little, what you call it? Okay.
The hangout spot.
For my fun, I hang out, you hang out where you live. More or less, there were a whole lot of nightclubs around about, if you're a nightclub person. You hang out where you live, and that's it, because you don't go in white town, like you guys could go in South Beach and all that, man, so. No, none of that, you couldn't do that.
Did you ever try to?
Try? No. The only time that I have go into those places was, I play a saxophone, so if I had a job to play, I would find myself. And even there, I encountered some segregation. I remember working at a place in Hialeah, right, playing. And when you get through playing, you have to go in the back in this little room. You can't sit and mingle with the people out there, you understand? There were white people out there, you were not allowed to mingle with those people. So you have to go in the back in your little room and tell your little 20 minutes is up, and you go up there and play again.
School, let's talk about school.
School.
How did your school handle the effort to integrate? integration?
How my school?
Yeah.
Handle integration? When I was going to school, there was no integration. So, you know, I can't see how my school handle integration. And I don't know too much about how the other schools handle integration.
What school did you go to?
I go to school in the Bahamas.
In the Bahamas?
Yeah. And after I came to America, I went to Northwestern School after, this was after I got married now. Went to Northwestern School and got me, I took the government and history, communism voices, something. And I got me a GED diploma. So I never had no long intermingle in school in America, okay?
How long have you been married?
How long have I been here? Since 19?
Married.
I've been married since 1948.
Did?
That's about 50-something years. So you see, I've been married a long time. And asking me questions sometime. I could understand you asking me sometime. It had been so long, it's like a generation, two or three generations ago, huh? Okay.
Did you have any like conflicts with white male, white Klan members, like when you're married?
Klan? Like the Ku Klux Klan people? No, I haven't had any conflict with the Ku Klux Klan, but I had a friend that had conflict with the Ku Klux Klan. He had bought a house into a neighborhood that more or less, at those times, called a white neighborhood. And they come and burn a cross on his lawn. His name is Frank Legree. He's living now today. Yeah, friend of mine. Maybe he would be a good one for you to interview one day.
Is there any other haunting memory of discrimination or segregation of the races?
Okay. Member of discrimination with Bell Telephone Company, and I started to tell you that. I don't know how far I went with that. Did I go to that with you as far as going into the with my new position after filing a letter? This was after the Supreme Court decision Brown versus Education. I filed a letter with the district manager of the company, asking to be involved in the mainstream of Bell Telephone Company. And he wrote me a letter and told me to go and take a test. And this is the important part I'd like to get over to you all. Be prepared. And I'm going to tell you why. You know, I think that's a scout motto also, right? Mm-hmm. Be prepared. I'll tell you why. I wrote the letter to the district deputy, asking the district deputy I'm telling him that I think it's time that I get involved in the mainstream of Bell Telephone Company business. He wrote a letter to me telling me, okay, go take the test. The test was exactly set up to make sure that you don't even get in there. But if you're smart enough to pass it, then we let you go. You understand what I mean? So that's what I meant about being prepared. I took the test, I passed the test. So I went into the new position with Bell Telephone Company. Now, at that time, I had been working for Bell Telephone Company for 18 long years. The difference between the salary that I got at that time and the salary that I was making for 18 years was $40 a week. And the thing about it, this new position is now called entrance position. So the guy that came in, the white man that came in, he came in the entrance position, right? And I've been 18 years, he was making more than me. He just came in there now. 18 years I've been out here working, he came in here like today, and he's making $40 more than I'm making, who've been here for 18 years. So you see how devastating segregation was. So I got the job working for Bell Telephone Company, and I got the position. In going to the central office that morning, when we got there, all the white people were outside. I guess they were outside to see It was just two of us, my cousin and I, the two first black people ever worked for Bell Telephone Company Central Office, here in Dade County, me and my cousin. So when we got there, I told my cousin, well, we have quite an audience this morning. So he said, well, let's go. So we went in there. Well, we didn't have any problem with that. They didn't, you know, try to hurt us or anything. We didn't have no problem. But there were stumbling blocks set at interval to make it look bad. Somebody will go and cut a wire. Somebody, and especially you got it now. You get the order comes in. Like you call and say, hey, look, I'm not getting a dial tone on my phone. So man will call me and say, okay, go over there, Moss, and see what's happening, why this customer's not getting dial tone. So when you go over there to work on this thing, you might find a problem, you fix it, then you think everything is all right, then the customer called back again. Say, I'm not getting dialed on. So the boss man said, I said, when you're over there, Moss, what's the problem? Let's go see what's the problem. When you get over there, the wire cut. You didn't connect this wire. You're blamed for that. You understand me? Things like that. Okay.
Like after you and your cousin done joined the phone company, did any other more people? Any more black African-American people?
Came to work with the company? Oh, yeah. After that? Oh, yeah. I mean, then the company was open more or less to young people who had the college degrees and what's not began to come to work for the company, especially in engineering. If you had a degree in engineering, you could really get a job with the company. One thing about Bell Telephone Company, though, although you may have an engineer degree, when you come in, they still work you in a position where you have to learn the company, because Bell Company is so different from other companies. You have to learn the company, because I know a guy came in here, he had an engineer degree, and he came on to me. I had to train him to run the, to get familiarized with what's going on. You understand what I mean? A lot of black people come in. We have some young people there now. I think two I can remember, two very, very nice young people. Well, his name, one name is Willie Lawson. He's an engineer and got a big second level management position. There's another one named, what's her name? Yvonne, young lady, Yvonne Harris. Same young lady has a second level managerial position and working in the engineering department. So a whole lot of young people come. And in those days, women weren't working outside, and you know, today women are working outside with Bell Telephone Company. Women are hooking up a telephone and all of that. Women are working in a manhole and all of that kind of, well, it's quite different from when I first met there.
Well, I thank you for taking time out of your busy schedule
to come visit us.
Okay. Don't forget, be prepared now.
Be prepared.
Be prepared so when the thing come falling your way, you're ready.